Cornishine on a set of park ones. This was really, I'd say a tough one. But it goes to show a lot of our faults and failures in our lives and in the lives of our forefathers that we're going to get into in just a little bit. But it's set apart from one, Cornishine, and it, like I said, it goes really to a lot of detail, a lot of depth that we don't, like I said, take a little bit of reading, try to take time. We'll try to get through as much as we can tonight. And we're going to get in some real interesting slides. I don't know who doesn't have them. If you need them, we'll give them to you after. It's a very important reading. We have to be set apart in today's society. You know, it's wherever we go, what things that we do, what we say, you know, people are watching us, people are looking at us. And, you know, at some point in time, you need to be that light to stand out, to shine. So, listen, one night, well, this is one of the things that we do on Wednesday night, to come out and be a light to our community, to our families, and of course, on our jobs, everywhere we go. And like I said, being set apart is a challenge. It never said it would be easy. It never said it would, you know, once saved, always saved, and you're good. It definitely challenged you more than that. You know, we just learned all about food laws and the laws of the priest. You know, what he went through for us, what the price Yeshua paid. You know, because we were full of leprosy. And all these things, we've come a long ways to get to here. And you know, and what the scripture says, to much is given, much is required. He's expecting more. He wants your best. He's not selling for second best. So this is why we're here, and it's to understand his likes and his dislikes. We need to know what he likes and what he does not like in order for us to be set apart. So let's get started, because I don't even know how far we'll get, but we'll try. I think this is slide 92 where we left off. Well, if not, we'll start from there. As we look at the Hebrew word shamar, Strong's 81, Hebrew 8104, which means keep, watch, present, attend to, pay close attention, guard. In the ancient pictograph form, we are able to identify what true guarding entails. You know, let me tell you, what is the scripture in the book of Revelations? I forgot to put it in my notes. But he said, if we're not careful, you get your crown taken away. So we have a lot of, we have to guard. That eternal life comes with a price. It's not going to be a cakewalk. You're going to be faced with obstacles and everything else. The shin. It's the letter shin, which is in the ancient script. It's pictured as two front teeth and carries the meaning of sharp or crest, chew or devour, which is what teeth do. And also speaks of the sharpened word that comes forth from the mouth as teeth chew or meditate on the truth, making what comes forth pure and sharp. It also carries the understanding of consuming or destroying as teeth do to food. I tell my wife all the time, if I was the Hebrew alphabet, I would be ashamed. Letter down. The ancient script has letter as water, and also carries the meaning of chaos from the storm of the sea, and can also picture that which is mighty or massive, as well as the unknown. We're able to understand this letter as representing the nation, for the nation are often likened to the seas in scripture. This also carries for us the picture of washing, as we understand the function of water being that which cleanses us and sustains us,
showing us how we are washed and sustained by the living water of the Word.
Waters of the Word.
This letter also can represent any liquid, especially blood. Resh, the ancient script, has the letter Resh, and pictured at the head of a man, and at the meaning of the head of a man, as well as chief, top, beginning, or first. Top, as in the top, or head of a body, and chief, and as in head of a tribe or people, as well as the one who rules the people. We all know who our head is. Considering these pictographs that render the word that means to guard carefully, we are able to identify how we are to meditate on the washing of our head. You know, he spoke some very important words. He said, my words are spirit and they are life. And after all, what are we here for? We're here for that life, eternal life. It doesn't weigh out. No matter what you got going on, it doesn't weigh out the eternal life. And this Kodeshim really drove hard on about being set apart. In Shaul's letter to the believers in Ephesus, he instructed husbands to love their wives as Messiah loved us. Ephesians, I always try to say it in the Hebrew language, but it's so hard. I can't find an app to find it where it says it. But Ephesians 5, 25 to 28, husband, love your wives, as Messiah also did love the assembly and gave himself for it, in order to set it apart and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, in order to present to himself a splendid assembly, not having spot or wrinkle or any of these sort, but that it might be set apart and blameless. And we're going to see a little later on in here, you're going to see how Israel suffered time and time and time again. And what happened? Our forefathers, they just passed it on from generation to generation down to us over here today. And we'll see that. It is through his word that he washes us. And therefore, we are able to identify the cleansing that his blood brought to us, giving us the ability to properly meditate on the cleansing that the word of our head brings. By guarding to do all he instructs us to do, we, as set apart people, must guard the Sabbath. Question is why? And the Sabbath is a sign. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to that also. Mm-hmm. But like I said, he's the head. What he says in his word, he says, you call me teacher. You call me master. You call me these things, but you don't do what I say. That's a problem. That's a problem for me. That's a problem for you. And anyone else that's not part of this body, that's part of another church, it's a problem for them. Because a lot of people claim they follow him. A lot of people claim they know him. But the question is, are we obeying? Are we truly obeying what he says? Why is the Sabbath? Why is the Sabbath most important to us? And what we are to quickly realize that is that our sign or mark of our worship unto Elohim, Yahweh Elohim. It is in fact seen in our remembering to keep his Sabbath. Sabbath observance is key to worship. In fact, it is our definite sign that sets us apart from others. And we know that's right because you don't see too many people running going to church on Saturday. In Yehezkel, Ezekiel 20:12, and I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, to know that I am Yehovah who sets them apart. Shemot, Exodus 31:16-17, and the children of Israel shall guard the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generation as an everlasting covenant. Between me and the children of Israel, it is a sign forever. Figure that. For in 6 days, Yahweh made the heaven and the earth, and on 7 days he rested and was refreshed. And it's not because he was tired. Let's just make that clear. Not because he was tired. But he was showing us as an example on what we should do. He rested, so we should do the same thing. If that's what he wants us to require of us, then we should follow the examples that he has laid before us. We as his children are to guard and observe the Sabbath for all time. Yehovah makes it very clear in the above two passages that the Sabbath is in fact the sign that we are his. How awesome is that? His Sabbath is a sign of his power to create and his power to redeem. In the scriptures, the words seal, sign, mark, and token are used interchangeably. I mean, it'll never change. No matter what man says, no matter what religion says, he says, I do not change. My word is my word. He won't change for you. He won't change for me. So, Elohim's sign. The Sabbath represents his mighty power to rule as creator and savior, and is a sign forever between us as the children of Israel and Elohim. Hebrews 4:9, so there remains a Sabbath keeping for the people of Elohim. You cannot get any clearer than this verse. Although it has sadly been twisted into many erroneously teaching that the Sabbath rest being spoken of here only refers to the millennial reign, which is simply a twisted lie of the enemy. And I'm sure a lot of people fall for that too. The Greek word that is used here for Sabbath keeping is sabbatismos. Strong's G4520 will literally mean a Sabbath keeping or Sabbath observance. And it's very clear in an instruction for us today that to keep Sabbath is still of vital importance. After all, it is an everlasting sign for us. A sign that will prove to be a critical dividing factor in showing who truly worship Elohim and who does not.
Amen.
The weekly Sabbath keeping is not only for us a sign, but it's also the first of his commanded appointed time of all his appointed times, according to Bakara, Leviticus 23:1-2. Yehovah has given us this day as a sign of his everlasting covenant, and what we must therefore also realize is that the enemy will always have a counterfeit sign. In seeking any means at luring people into the delusion of false worship, making people believe that they are in fact worshiping the Creator when clearly they are in error by having the wrong sign of their worship. This stuff is going to get pretty deep. I've taken an excerpt from the book Fossilized Custom, showing how many quotes by various theologians and preachers of the past from pages 86 and 87, Fossilized Custom, 6th edition. Below are quotes from theologians and preachers from a wide spectrum of denominations who have been very open in admitting that there is no scripture authority for observing Sunday as a Sabbath. Kind of put that on hold right here for a moment, because we're going to do some reading. We want to see, the trouble time and time again that Israel has gotten into. And what does Yeshua talk about the parable in Matthew 13? He's talking about the wheat and the tares. He said, you know what? There comes a time, just let them grow together. It's okay, let them grow together. You set apart from them, but they're going to be around you. But we always quote that we're in the world, we're not of the world, not to be like set apart, but we're going to grow together. And that's going to come a time, there's going to be a separation. But yet, Trump, he knows who he is. He said that way back in Egypt. He said, this night the dog won't even bark, and I'm going to show you the distinction between what's Israel and what's Egypt. So we know there's going to come a time, there's going to be a separation. But in Ezekiel chapter 20,
He said, and it came to be in the, starting at verse 1, and it came to be in the seventh year. And this whole time, this is our outdoor portion. And I didn't even know we slide. I had no idea what I was getting into. I started getting this word when I was in Florida for a week up there. I was really meditating on Ezekiel chapter 20 and 22. How Yahweh just points out the stuff that has crept into the church and has, you know, our forefathers have inherited. So let me get to reading. And it came to be in the seventh year, in the fifth month, on the tenth of the new moon, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of Yahweh and sat before me. And the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel, and say to them, Thus said the master Yahweh, Have you come to inquire of me? As I live, I am not being inquired of by you, declared the master Yahweh. He says, Judge them, son of man, judge them. Make known to them the abomination of their fathers. And you shall say to them, Thus said the master Yahweh, On the day when I chose Israel and lifted up my hand in an oath to the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known to them in the land of Mizraim, I lifted up my hand in an oath to say to them, saying, I am Yahweh your Elohim. On that day, I lifted up my hand in an oath to them to bring them out of the land of Mizraim into a land that I had searched out for them, formed with milk and honey, the splendor of all lands. And I said to them, Each one of you throw away the abominations which are before his eyes, and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Mizraim. I am Yahweh your Elohim. But they rebelled against me and would not obey me. All of them did not throw away the abominations which were before their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Mizraim. So I resolved to pour out my wrath on them, to complete my displeasure against them in the midst of the land of Mizraim. But I acted for my name's sake, that I should not be profaned before the eyes of the nation, among whom they were before whom I had made myself known to them, to bring them out of the land of Mizraim. So I took them out of the land of Mizraim and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my law and showed them my right rulings, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And I also gave them my Shabbat, my Sabbath, to be a sign between them and me, to know that I am Yahweh who sets them apart. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my laws, and they rejected my right rulings, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they greatly profaned my Sabbaths. And I said I would not, and I said I would pour out my wrath on them in the wilderness to consume them. But I acted for my name's sake, not to profane it before the nation, before whose eyes I have brought them out. And I myself also lifted up my hand in an oath to them in the wilderness, not to bring them into a land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, the splendor of all lands. But they rejected my right rulings, and did not walk in my laws, and they profaned my Sabbath, for their heart went after idols. And my eye parted them from destroying them, and I did not make an end of them in the wilderness. And I said to their children in the wilderness, Do not walk in the laws of your fathers, nor observe their rulings, nor defile yourself with their idols. I am Yahweh your Elohim, walk in my laws, and guard my right rulings and do them. Over and over, we see Yahweh having to repeat himself. And it's no different up today. We got family that sometimes, look, it takes repeating time. It's not because we, like I said, we want to be ugly to them. We're trying to get them, look, time is running out. Verse 17, my eye parted them from destroying them. I did not make an end of them in the wilderness. Verse 18, I said to their children in the world, do not walk in the laws of your fathers, nor observe their rulings, nor defile yourself with your idols. I am Yahweh your Elohim, walk in my laws, and guard my right rulings, and do them, and set apart my Sabbaths. He's stressing the Sabbaths really hard. And they shall be a sign between me and you to know that I am Yahweh, your Elohim. But the children rebelled against me, They did not walk in my laws, in my right ruling. They did not guard to do them, which if a man does, he shall live by them. They profaned my Sabbath. So I resolved to pour out my wrath on them to complete my displeasure against them in the wilderness. But I held back my hand and acted for my namesake, not to profane it before the eyes of the nation, before whose eyes I had brought him out. Also, I myself lifted my hand in an oath to those in the wilderness, to scatter them among the nation and disperse them throughout the land, because they had not done my right ruling, and they rejected my laws, and they profaned my Sabbaths, and their eyes were on the fathers, on their father's idols. And I also gave them, and I also gave them up to laws that were not good. This would happen. My wife warned me about this, but I got to pause for a second. See, he said, I gave them laws that are not good. So what happened in the course of time when Yehovah does? He takes a step back. In Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, you can go read that. Maybe we'll get to it. I'll try. In chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, what he said, I'm going to give them over to delusions. You know, take a step back. They let you follow laws that are not right. And all because by his mercy that you can probably have enough sense to find your way back. Like the prodigal son. Realize before it's too late. But this is what happens when we don't doing what we're supposed to be doing. Because I'm going to get to Jeremiah, we're going to say we inherited those lives. They were passed on to us. It's in our DNA. Well, you know what we got to do? We got to get this out of us. We have to get it right. And I also gave them up to laws that were not good, and right rulings by which they would not live. And I defiled them by their own gifts, as they passed all their firstborn through the fire, so that I might shun them, so that they know that I am Yehovah. And we know that happened, because when you go in chapter 20 of our Torah portion, that's what he talked about right there, how they made their son in law pass through the fire, sacrifice their own children. And he said, if that don't happen today, you don't know what happens today. Amen. Because you don't see it, it's not happening in your neighborhood. Don't think it ain't happening somewhere else. Therefore, son of man, verse 27, speak to the house of Israel, and you shall say to them, thus says the Master Yehovah, in this your fathers have further reviled me by committing trespass against me, when I brought them into the land for which I had lifted my hand in an oath to give them. And they saw all the high hills and all the thick trees. They slaughtered their slaughtering there and provoked me with their offerings there. And they set up their sweet fragrance there and poured out their drink offerings there. And I said to them, what is this high place in which you go? So its name is called High Place to this day. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Master Yehovah, are you defiling yourselves in the way of your fathers? And do you whore after the abomination? For when you lift up your gift and make your son pass through the fire, you defile yourselves with all your idols, even to this day. And shall I be inquired by you, O house of Israel? As I live, declares the Master, I am not being inquired by you.
Stop right there on that one. I want to skip over to,
you can see that Yahweh was serious what his people were doing. And he led out of Egypt. And junkness just had filtered down to us. Let's go to chapter 22 of Ezekiel. And the word of Yahweh came to me saying, and now, son of man, judge the city of blood, and you shall show her abomination. And you shall say, thus says the Master Yehovah, the city shed blood in her midst, that her time might come, and she had made idols within herself to become defiled. And you have become guilty by the blood which you have shed. You have defiled yourself with the idols which you have made. Thus you have brought your days near and have come to the end of your years. Therefore I shall make you a reproach to the nations and a mockery to all lands. Those near and those far from you mock you. Defiled is your name and great the confusion. See the leaders of Israel, each one has used his arm to shed blood in you. They have despised father and mother within you. And what we're supposed to do, we just talk, honor our father and mother. You're gonna pick up, you're gonna see key words as we talk about this. Like I just got out of 21, out of 20, about the sweet incense. You'll pick up these key words, everything we just went through. This is what he's gonna go back and point out. They have oppressed. Mm-hmm. They have despised father and mother within you. They have oppressed the sojourner in your midst. Are we allowed to do that? Not according to Torah. Not to oppress the sojourner, the stranger. We're supposed to welcome them. They have wronged the fatherless and the widow within you. You have despised that which is set apart to me, and you have profaned my Sabbath. He's really pushing this hard. And this is what all this poor portion is about. A lot of it. He's stressing hard about the Sabbath. And we'll see how man try to change it with their laws. Slanderous men have been in you to shed blood. And in you are those who eat on the mountain. They have done wickedness in your midst. In you they have uncovered the nakedness of a father. In you they have humbled women who are defiled during the uncleanness. We just went through all this. And the one has done abomination with his neighbor's wife. And another has wickedly defiled his daughter-in-law. And another within you has humbled his sister, his father's daughter. In you they have taken a bribe to shed blood. You have taken interest and increased. You have cut off your neighbor by extortion. And you have forgotten me, declared the Master Yehovah. See, a lot of, you can say Israel was in, they were doing a lot of stuff they shouldn't have been doing. You know, but that's no different here today. Might be a different time, but that's no different today. If we're not being set apart, what we're called to be, we're no better than them. Matter of fact, we are the house of Yaakov. We're going to get to that here in just a moment. I believe it's in this one. I got it in one of my notes. And see, I shall strike my hand because of your greedy gain which you have made, and at the bloodshed which has been in your midst. Would your heart stand, your hands be strong in the day when I deal with you? I have spoken, and I shall do it. And I shall scatter you among the nations, and shall despise you throughout the land, and shall consume your filthiness out of you. And you shall profane yourself before the eyes of the nation, and you shall know that I am Jehovah. And come the time of the day of reckoning, we might think we're getting away with it, but really we're not. I'm telling you, we're not. And I truly believe, until I tell you, I believe we're on a time schedule. The clock's ticking. Boy, damn. Let's go to Jeremiah. Chapter 16. To drink for their father or their mother. Do not enter the house of feasting to sit with them, to eat and drink. For thus says Yehovah, both the Elohim of Israel, see before your eyes and in your day, I am making the voice of rejoicing and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride to cease in this place. And it shall be when you declare to this people all these words, and they shall say to you, why has Yehovah pronounced all this great evil against us? And what is our crookedness? And what is our sin that we have committed trespass against Yehovah Elohim? But to get the answer. Then you shall say to them, because your fathers have forsaken me, declares Yehovah, they have walked after other mighty ones and served them and bowed themselves to them and have forsaken me and did not guard my Torah. We have to guard it. With all that's within us, you have to guard it. Day in and day out, you have to put it on like a garment. I mean, it's, when I think the scripture said, when they say for peace and safety, then comes sudden destruction. You need to be prepared. I mean, and we can't, well, I mean, I know in here, it feels like peace and safety in here. But when you get outside the doors, you don't know what's happening in this world. We can all, I mean, we just see a little bit of the news, but we don't see the evilness behind all that goes on. I mean, the little that we do see, it's crazy. They have forsaken me, and did not guard my Torah. And you have done more evil than your fathers. For look, each one walks according to the stubbornness of his own evil heart without listening to me. So I shall throw you out of this land, into a land that you do not know, neither you nor your fathers. And there you shall serve with the mighty ones day and night, where I show you no favor. Therefore, see, the days are coming, declares Yehovah, when it is no longer said, Yehovah lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Mitzrayim, but Yehovah lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he has driven them. For I shall bring them back into their land I gave to their fathers. See, I am sending for many fishermen, declares Yehovah, and they shall fish them. And after that I shall send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them for every mountain and every hill and out of the hold of the rocks. For my eyes are on all their ways. They have not been hidden from my face, nor had their crookedness been hidden from my eyes. And first I shall repay double for their crookedness and their sin, because they have defiled my land with the dead bodies of the disgusting matters and have filled my inheritance with their abominations. O Yehovah, my strength and my stronghold and my refuge, in the day of distress, the nation shall come to you from the end of the earth and say, our father has inherited only falsehood, futility, and there is no value in them. Would a man make mighty ones for himself, which are not mighty ones? Therefore, see, I'm calling them to know this time. I call them to know my hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is Yehovah. So like I said, time and time, he warned Israel to be set apart. Don't be like the nations. Don't fall after serving their God. And there's so much more that you can read, that you can pull up. But these are just a few things that, you know, when I was in Florida, I was going through some of these readings. And when I get here, and boy, these slides, they get to be real touchy sometimes. What are you going to do? You know, I'm here praying. If I'm called to do this, this is what you want me to do. I'm gonna say what you want me to say. I'm gonna walk the way you want me to walk. I'm gonna say what you give me to say, and what's presented before me. Because who we be like? Our rabbi. We're supposed to walk as he walked. talk as he talked. I mean, that's after all. He's our greatest example.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
So don't be just shocked with the next few slides coming up. Because some of these things, they're going to get real detailed. But it's for us to know. It's for us to read. And then, it's not just to say that we're better. Grand Zeke don't make me better. Grand Zeke make me, I'm being obedient.
Amen.
I'm following what he would have done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure when I stand before, he's going to say, well, hey, Spider. He ain't going to call me Spider. He's going to say, hey, Spider, why are you wearing Zeke? Well, I'm going to say, well, Master, because you were one. So, yeah, I'm really going to say Spider. I'm so used to saying that when I'm on the boat, that I just went in. Okay, let's see all these famous quotes. I actually went back last night, and I looked at every one of these.
Amen.
And trust me, you can find them. They are all there.
That's right.
This is no lie. This is not something that pastor just found and posted for us to talk about, for us to say. It's all there. You can go, like I said, that's the website, 5-5-5. I can screenshot it on my phone. So you can go back and read every one of them. I was changed, I was sad, I was set apart day, for us to be set apart, and what the world has basically almost done. But there's still a remnant that hold fast to the command of Elohim and of Yeshua. We hold fast.
Amen.
Angelican Episcopal, that's what I said. Isaac Williams, Blaine Sermons on the Catechism, Volume 1, page PP, I guess that's page 34-36. This is a quote. And we are told in the scriptures that we are to keep the first day, and where are we told in the scriptures that we are to keep the first day at all? What a question. We are commanded to keep the seventh, but we are nowhere commanded to keep the first day. The reason we keep the first day of the week holy instead of the seventh is for the same reason that we observe many other things, not because of the Bible, but because the church has enjoined it. Well, you know how much you need that. Canon. Okay. T. Enrich, CSSR, in the lecture at Hartford, Connecticut, February 18, 1884, I have repeatedly offered $1,000 to anyone who can prove to me from the Bible alone that I am bound to keep Sunday holy. There is no such law in the Bible. It is a law of the Holy Catholic Church alone. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Catholic Church says, no. By my divine power, I abolish the Sabbath day and command you to keep holy the first day of the week. And lo, the entire civilized world bowed down in a reverent obedience to the command of the Holy Catholic Church. And this is by no means to go run around and pick on our Catholic brothers and sisters out there. But this is facts of the fact.
Yes.
This is where the rubber meets the road, if you want to call it. And it's just this fact. You can look it up. So, Canon Eaton, the Ten Commandments, page 52, 63, 65. There is no word nor hint in the New Testament about abstaining from work on Sunday. Into the rest of Sunday, no divine law enters. The observance of Ash Wednesday or Lent stands exactly on the same footing as the observance of Sunday. Bishop Seymour, why we keep Sunday? We have made the change from the seventh day to the first day, from Saturday to Sunday, on the authority of the Holy Catholic Church. And they have a lot of rules. Why they done these things? Dr. Edward T. Hiscox, a paper read before the New York Ministers Conference, read, November 13, 1893, reported in New York Examiner, November 16, 1893. There was an end in the commandment to keep holy the Sabbath day. But the Sabbath day was not Sunday. It will be said, however, and with some show of triumph, that the Sabbath was transferred from the seventh to the first day of the week. Where can the record of such a transaction be found? Not in the New Testament. Absolutely not. To me it seems unaccountable that Jesus, during three years intercourse with his disciples, often conversating with them upon the Sabbath question, never alluded to any transference of the date. Also, that during 40 days of his resurrection life, no such thing was intimated. Of course, it's quite well known that Sunday did not come in use in early Christian history. But what a pity it comes branded with the mark of paganism and christened with the name of the sun god, adopted and sanctioned by the papal apostasy, and bequeathed as a sacred legacy to Protestantism. Yeah. when I was reading all this, I said, we had pastor, we had my brother, and now me today. I said, boy, we had there's a movie called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And y'all got the good. And y'all got the bad. But today, y'all getting the more bad. Maybe I'm not going to say the ugly, y'all getting the more bad today. Oh boy, William Owen Carver. And look, when you're going over this in your mind, some of this stuff ain't easy to say.
Yeah. Right.
But what am I doing? Am I going to say it and be the guy that Jehovah's counting on? Because he said, I sought to be a man, but I found none. I just read that. He ain't found one.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody's going to stand up.
Amen.
There was never any formal or authoritative change from the Jewish seventh day to the Christian first day observance. Figure that. Dr. R. W. Dale, The Ten Commandments, New York, Ethan and Maine, page 127 to 129. It is quite clear that however rigidly or devotedly we may spend Sunday, we are not keeping the Sabbath. The Sabbath was founded on a specific divine command. We can plead no such command for the obligation to observe Sunday. There is not a single sentence in the New Testament to suggest that we incur any penalty by violating the supposed sanctity of Sunday. Timothy Dwight, Theology, Explained and Defended, 1823, Sermon 107, Volume 3, page 258, the Christian Sabbath, Sunday, is not in the scriptures. Let me repeat that. The Christian Sabbath Sunday is not in the scriptures and was not by the primitive church called the Sabbath. So people say, well, this is my Sabbath. They can say, oh, well, this is the Sabbath they want. Not what the scripture says. I don't have to tell you wrong. I kind of push that weight a little bit, even though I tell them I'm still wrong. But then I show them proof, and you know what? I'm still wrong. It don't matter at all. But the proof's in the pudding. Disciples of Christ. Alexander Campbell, the Christian Baptist. February 2nd, 1824, volume 1, number 7, page 164. But some say it was changed from the seventh to the first day. Where? When and by whom? No man can tell. No, it has never was changed, nor could it be, unless creation was to be gone through again. For the reason assigned must be changed before the observance, all respect to the reason, all respect to the reason can be changed. It is all old wives' fable to talk of the change of the Sabbath from the seventh day, from the seventh to the first day. If two be changed, it was that August person who changed it, who changes time and laws ex
officio.
Yes. I think his name is Dr. Antichrist. First day observance, page 1719. The first day of the week is commonly called the Sabbath. This is a mistake. The Sabbath of the Bible was the day just preceding the first day of the week. The first day of the week is never called the Sabbath anywhere in the entire scripture. It is also an error to talk about the change of the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. There is not in any place in the Bible any intimation of such a change. Intimation?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I went to Grand Valley High, so I didn't go to Booneville.
The Sunday Lutheran, the Sunday Problem. A study book of the United Lutheran Church, 1923, page 36. We have seen how gradually the impression of the Jewish Sabbath faded from the mind of the Christian church, and how completely the newer thought underlying the observance of the first day took possession of the church. We have seen that the Christians of the first three centuries never confused one with the other, but for a time celebrated both. Augsburg Confession of Faith, Art 28, Article 28, written by Meshulam, approved by Martin Luther, 1530, as published in the Book of Concord of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, Henry Jacobs, edited edition, 1911, page 63. They, Roman Catholics, referred to the Sabbath day as having been changed to the Lord's Day. Contrary to the Decalogue, as it seems, neither is there any example whereof they make more than concerning the change of the Sabbath day. Great, said they, is the power of the church, since it has dispensed with one of the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. Dr. Argus Nether, The History of the Christian Religion and Church, Henry John Rose, 1843, page 26. The festival of Sunday, like all other festivals, was always only a human ordinance, and it was far from the intention of the apostles to establish a divine command in this respect. Far from them, and from the early church to transfer the laws of the Sabbath to Sunday. John Theodore Muller, Sabbath or Sunday. But they err in their teaching that Sunday has taken the place of the Old Testament Sabbath, and therefore must be kept as the seventh day, had to be kept by the children of Israel. These churches err in their teaching, for Scripture has in no way ordained the first day of the week in place of the Sabbath. There is simply no law in the New Testament to that effect. Methodist John Wesley, The Works of the Reverend John Wesley, A.M., John M.R., E.D., New York, Ethan and Maine, Sermon 25, Volume 1, page 221. But the moral law contained in the Ten Commandments and enforced by the prophets, he, Christ, did not take away. It was not the design of his coming to revoke any part of this. This is a law which can never be broken. Every part of this law must remain enforced upon all mankind, and in all ages, as not depending either on time or place or any other circumstances liable to change, but on the nature of God and the nature of man and their unchanging relation to each other. Dwight L. Moody, D.L. Moody, Wade and Wanting, page 748. The Sabbath was binding in Eden, and it has been enforced ever since. This fourth commandment begins with the word remember, showing that the Sabbath already existed when God wrote the law on the tables of stone at Sinai. How can men claim that this one commandment has been done away with when they will admit that the other nine are still binding?
Amen.
That's a good question.
Amen.
T.C. Blake, D.D., Theology Condensed, page 474. The Sabbath is a part of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. This alone forever settles the question as to the perpetuity of the institution. Until, therefore, it can be shown that the whole moral law has been repealed, the Sabbath will stand. The teaching of Christ confirms the perpetuity of the Sabbath. Okay. I'm sure that if you have never read or heard of any of these clear confessions before, then you may be a little stunned, to say the least, and you should be. So why then is still such a fight and a struggle to simply follow the Torah of Scripture? The enemy wants to control, and so through the paganized program of Christianity, which has synchronized truth with the era of sun worship, has in fact drawn many to take the mark of the beast. I thought this was very interesting, because we're always thinking that it's going to be a mark in the hand or the forehead. And then, you know how I was teaching with it, just, but when you start diving in, this stuff starts to become a little clear to you. What makes sense? So let's see. We're going to keep going on. We're going to see where this takes us. Now, for many people reading this, the common error is often too quickly jumped to is the declaration that they are not Catholic, so it does not apply to them. I know somebody told me that. Well, it's my Sabbath. I heard that a couple times. You'd be surprised. Christian folks. Relatives. But they think just going to Sabbath, we're just going to church on Saturday. We crazy. We've lost our mind. Like, why would you want to go back and go back into the law? That's what you hear. We know the Torah, it doesn't mean law. It means an instruction. Well, I just read it. He said that if a man doesn't, he's going to live. This is what we're here for, because we want to live. I told it to my brother yesterday. He thought about work. I said, brother, I don't want to work like that. I said, I like my days all the time when I can get off. I want to enjoy life a little bit. I said, I want to spend time home with my wife. I said, and you know, we got children, we got family. I don't want to be constantly bound to go to work 24/7. I said, I got life. I said, then when compared to eternal life, I don't want to get caught up in all that work. All right, here we go. The plain truth is that the Catholic Church, Mother Christianity, she is the whore who has made the nation drunk with her many adulteries, and has brought forth many children consisting of thousands of various denominations that exist within Christianity today. And the sign or mark of the authority and worship of the whore and the beast is done on their Sunday observance. Wow, that's a mouthful. I tried to pass this door teaching to Brother Chad. I ain't lying. We were trying to conspire. He said, can you give up Captain Brochet? He said, no. But here we go. Wait, you're on the hook. And you see over and over and over what has been done in the churches around the world. It's a fact. One only has to look around the Vatican website at the Catechism to see how many have deliberately changed the word of Elohim to suit his own agenda and have power to control over man. And the sign of this authority has been established by the institution of Sunday observant that according to traditions of man, which have now been instituted as law, has replaced the Sabbath with the counterfeit day or days. Counterfeit.
We gotta be careful. What happens in the end? He said when all this stuff really thought happened, he thought showing signs and wonders. That if possible, even the very elect could be deceived if we're not aware of what's counterfeit. This is why we have to dig down to the Torah. Guard his Shabbat. This is what this Torah really pushes about guarding. Taking care of not personal business, but taking care of his business. That's why Yeshua said, I'm about my Father's business. Listen to this quote from the Catholic Catechism, 2190. The Sabbath, which represented the completion of the first creation, has been replaced by Sunday, which recalls the new creation inaugurated by the resurrection of Christ. Where does it say that in Scripture? Nowhere. You will not find this anywhere in the word of Elohim. Why? Because his Sabbath has never changed and never will.
Amen.
Some more quotes taken from the Vatican website. And we don't have to worry, y'all. I'm not going to say your name in the end. That's going to get the blame anyway. I'll wait until you get the blame. They want to say Pastor said, but he'll still get the blame. Some more quotes taken from the Vatican website in their catechism regarding the Sabbath and what they call the Lord's Day, bearing in mind that Baal means Lord. Copied and pasted directly from the website. You can go look it up. I didn't. I was already on overload. 106, St. Justin. First Epistle, 167, page 6, 429, and 432. We all gather on the day of the sun, for it is the first day after the Jewish Shabbat, Sabbath, but also the first day when God, separating matter from darkness, made the world, and on this same day, Jesus Christ, our Savior, rose from the dead. 108, St. Ignatius of Antioch. A.D. Mag 9-1 S.C.H. 1088. Those who lived according to the old order of things have come to a new hope, no longer keeping the Sabbath, but the Lord's day, in which our life is blessed by him and by his death.
Antichrist.
That's about the time we'll be looking for an exit door.
109, St. Thomas Aquinas, STH 11-11-122-4-2776. The celebration of Sunday observes the moral commandment inscribed by nature in the human heart to render to God an outward, visible, public, and regular worship as a sign of his universal benefice to all. Notice this last statement by St. Thomas Aquinas. Sunday observed as a sign. But wait a minute, Yehovah has given us a sign, his Sabbath. So who is man to change that? The word is clear. Do not add or take away. Man has clearly taken away and added in this one severe change of what Yehovah has instituted. From the creation week as a perpetual sign of his everlasting covenant with his children. What we need to understand is that there is a clear wrestle for worship. Satan wants man to worship him and will not stop at nothing and doing anything he can to achieve this. What each person needs to ask himself is simply this, who am I worshiping?
Amen.
As you can see, this stuff is It goes real deep. And if, like I said, if we're not careful, we're going to act ourselves. If we're profaning his Sabbath, that's what he said. We're reading Ezekiel. You profane my Sabbath. How are we profaning it? By not guarding it. By not obeying. That's how you profane the Sabbath. Shame on us. Shame on me that I've done it. And this will become a clear, this will become clear by the sign or mark of their worship, and that is in the either keeping the Sabbath of Yehovah or in subjecting themselves to Sunday observance, which is the dare of the church. For unity in the Roman Empire, Emperor Constantine, while bowing down to the sun and praying to the sun deity Mitra, saw an image in the sky as he looked up. And that image was the cross, which simply happens as the light of sunrise diffracts and causes the light to be split. You remember when that happened in Port Sulphur? That was a big thing down here. Brought news people down here, man. That little church ran Port Sulphur. God said he was praying. So I heard a story. And all of a sudden he felt something burning on his back. He turned around, he saw the cross shine through the glass. And, boy, that's it. That took off like wildfire. He had news people coming down here. It was crazy. Unbelievable. I thought about that today. That was going over that. sometimes you just be reminded every now and then about some things that happened. Hey, but look, there's something we think is crazy. We might think it's a little funny. But the other people, they were serious. No, you can't tell them no better. That was a sign. Yet he saw this as a sign of how he would be able to gain control over the world through religion, and thus he declared Christianity to be the state religion. And while he continued to worship the sun, moon, and stars, he declared that everyone was to give honor to Sol Dagis, or Sol Invictus, which means the unconquered sun. Unconquerable Son. This decree was made under penalty of death for all who refused to bow down to the sun. Many true believers did flee, while most submitted to this new religious system in fear of their lives. I mean, we know in Scripture that the Word said that many are going to fall away in that day. Many are going to give in because they simply not accepted the love of truth. We haven't been really pointed to the point of really being tested. There's no persecution going on here yet. But if this was to come, what are you going to do? In the formation of this decree, it was declared that all Christians must now worship on the day of the sun. And anyone who was found to be keeping what was called, what he called the Jewish Sabbath, would be put to death. I think we're going to need to be rooted and grounded in Torah as much as we can, guarding his law, his right ruling, keeping his Shabbat. Because why? There may be a day that comes. When they come and knock on your door and want to know, what are you doing? You going to church today or are you going tomorrow? Are we going to have enough courage to stand up like Peter and say, look, no matter what you do, you can hang me upside down. He wasn't like that first Peter, the one that petered out on. But once he got filled with that Seraphim Spirit, after the day of Pentecost, which we count now our Homer, what he said? He said, no matter what you do, hang me upside down. I'm not even worthy to be crucified right side up. You know what he did? Put him upside down. There you go. Amongst all some of the other apostles. You know, you can read some of the things they've done to him. That they put him in pits with wild animals. Some of them they pulled apart. We see these things on TV, but these things were real. You know? How did they stretch them? They pull them out until you lick them, and you like a jellyfish almost. Some of this stuff was real. So put them on poles, let them on fire. What do we do if that comes here? Are we gonna be able to stand persecution? I think this is why this door portion is why we feel like we're being drilled so hard. I went home after Sunday, I told my wife, I feel like I've been in church all week. But it's for our benefit. But we need it. We're so far behind, we need it. I mean, we just started getting these door portions just a couple of years now. We've just really been in it. We ain't been in it 30 years. We've been 30 years, we'd be well versed. But right now, it just seems like it's so hard. The pressure is on. Yeah, but why? Because time is running out.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And not only run out of me and you, on family members. I wish they were here tonight. Mm-hmm. Just look around, all the empty seats. That's just a few that we know. Hence, Constantine initiated a change in time and commanded appointments for which Scripture warns us would happen. Daniel 7:25. And it speaks word against the Most High. And it wears out the set apart ones of the Most High. That's us.
Mm.
And it intends to change appointed time and law. And they are given into his hand for a time and half a time. The it in this verse is referring to the fourth beast as described in Daniel 7. It speaks blasphemy against the Most High. And intends to change appointed times and law. Intends to change, that is, that despite man's effort at changing and the Creator's time, they will never succeed. They may follow their own schedule, yet the one that matters and is of utmost importance is our Creator's appointed time. With also understanding that his Sabbath is crucial in this topic. To change law is simply to become lawless. And changing law leads to lawlessness, and it is the lawless that will be judged.
Amen.
Trust me, what I understand, you're going to be judged by his laws. I know man has any law to do whatever they got going on in the world, but he's going to come to you and he's going to, Scott, why were you not keeping Shabbat? Why were you profaning my name? All these things that he warned against us not to do, not to whore around with the nations that he warned us about. They don't be like the forefathers that did these things. Mark on the hand and on or forehead. As on Revelation 13:16, and he called all, both small and great, and rich and poor, and free and slave, to be given a mark upon their right hand or upon their foreheads. What is this mark being spoken of here? There are so many theories, and much guesswork in this. However, as one looks at Scripture, the reality of what this mark is becomes clear. I have just discussed how Sabbath is a sign between us and Yehovah, and also how the Catholic Church are very vocal in their arrogant declaration in saying that they change the Sabbath to Sunday worship, and the mere fact that people observe this is proof of their ecclesiastical power. Mm-hmm. I got that right?
Mm-hmm.
Ding, ding, ding.
The Converts Catechism of Catholic Doctrine, page 50, third edition, tells us more of where the Sunday Sabbath came from. We observe Sunday instead of Saturday because the Catholic Church in the Church of Laodicea, AD 364, transferred the solemnity from Saturday to Sunday. And you can see man want to change what God instituted. And if we get caught up, we're going to receive a false mark. Who changed the day, Elohim or man? We find the answer declared by Cardinal Gibbons. The Catholic Church, by virtue of her divine mission, changed the day from Saturday to Sunday.
Amen.
A doctrinal catechism by Stephen Kent, page 174, tells us that the universal church authorities was asked, have you any other way of proving that the church, RC, has power to institute festivals of precept? They responded with, had she had not such power, she could not have done that in which all modern religionists agree with her. She could have substituted the observance of Sunday, the first day of the week, for the observance of Saturday, the seventh day, a change for which there is no scripture authority. So on the other hand, you have the Catholic Church declaring her authority in the fact that she claims to have the authority to change scripture, while Yehovah makes it clear to us in scripture that he does not change. Amen. The dilemma that those who claim to worship the Creator are faced with is whether they will follow man or follow the truth. The unchangeable word of Elohim, will they accept the truth or the dare? Boy, this, you might have to make more friends after this teaching. Let us look at the true understanding of the right hand and the forehead. The mark of the beast as described in Hezan, Revelation, is not limited to being a visible mark, but rather it is an action. To have the mark received on the right hand means that it's performed. In other words, an action is performed, but does not necessarily mean that the person believes it to be the right thing to do, as they may just be going with the flow in ignorance. That's what everybody else is doing. Why are you going on Saturday? Ain't nobody else been prayer going on Saturday. Everybody else is going over here on Sunday. I'd be careful. To have the mark upon the forehead represents one's intellect and connective decision-making process, where one chooses to accept the action of submission to the authority that they follow. To receive the mark on the forehead then implies that the action is performed without any regard or remorse, like a whore without shame, and therefore indicate that the person performing the action is in full agreement with the act. Oh, this is serious. So in line with what we are discussing here in regard to worship, it is clear that the one who actively performs the agreed submission to the decrees of the one they worship will reveal whose mark or sign they have upon their right hand and forehead. Yehovah knows whose mark and why. He said, I give you my Shabbat. I give you my Sabbath. It is a sign, he said, it's a sign between me and them. Between him and I. So in line of what we are discussing here, in regard to worship, it is clear that the one who actively performs the agreed submission to the decrees of the one they worship will reveal whose mark or sign they have upon their right hand and forehead. So, I mean, I know we've been discussing it's going to be what kind of mark, a computer chip and all these things. I know that's what we have been taught a lot. I've heard that. But it's about our obedience. But what are we going to follow in life? But we're going to follow his commands, his laws, his right rule. That's what he says. He says in Leviticus 20:25, and you shall make a distinction between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean birds and clean, and do not make yourself about Abominable by beast or by bird or whatever creeps on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And you shall be set apart to me. For I, Yahweh, am set apart and have separated you from the people to be mine. And that was just a little part on that. Verse 22 says, you shall guard all my laws and all my right ruling and do them, so that the land where I'm bringing you to dwell will not vomit you out.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we have to be careful. Because we really need to be obeying. I'm a pastor that said, if obeying would just be easy, but it's not. We want what we want sometimes. That flesh rises up in us. And sometimes it catches us off guard. On an off guard morning, off guard evening. Somebody cuts in front of you. It's all right. I mean, I had to come back from Florida, and I just, like last minute, so I kind of really eased up to him. I really wasn't going to, you know, hit him. I looked kind of like a threat, like I wanted to, but that was the time I jammed my horn at him, and, you know, but we can't do that anymore. So we have to control ourselves and remember who we are, you know. That's what we got these easy that remind us for us. You know, but man, it's a lot. It is. And like I said, we feel the pressure in the time in which we live with all these things going on about, you know, all this stuff that they're pushing in the outside world. We really have to be on our guard. If one chooses to work on the Sabbath and observe Sunday worship, then they must realize that they are taking on the mark of the beast upon their right hand. And when they do this willingly and are in agreement with all the decrees of man, in following the lies that the Sabbath has been done away with or changed, then they are taking the mark upon their forehead. But y'all knows who's his and who's not his. And I think we're out of time, y'all. But like I said, this Torah portion was really heavy. It drove hard home about us having to guard his Shabbat, his command, his laws. Like I said, there come a time when we're before him, this is what he's going to require of us. How do we live our lives? To his standard or to the world's standards? So, thank y'all for coming out. Let's remember our pastor. Pastors that flew up here, deliver a message to Brother AJ and the rest of the family.